Blog Talk Radio.
Picture yourself in a boat on a river with tangerine trees and marmalade skies. Somebody calls you, you answer quite slowly. A girl with kaleidoscope eyes. Celebrating flowers of yellow and green, towering over your head. Look for the girl with the stunning horizon, she's gone. Lucy in the sky with diamonds. Eat marshmallow pies. Everyone smiles as you drift past the flowers that grow so incredibly high. Newspaper taxis appear on the shore, waiting to take you. Plasticine pauses with looking glass ties. Suddenly someone is there at the turnstile. The girl with kaleidoscope eyes.
Welcome back, my friends, to Where the Music Never Ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find that we find. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We are part of the world's largest community. That's allpoetry.com, and there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Monday through Sunday, 10 p.m. till midnight. Come hang with our wild dove, Lulu, and Nature and Passion on Mondays. Dig into Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Thoughts of the Twisted Sisters. Turn up the heat with the Art of Seduction on Wednesday. Thursdays are split between In Our Craft or Selling Art with Rich and Neutron and Double Helix with Aphasiana and Dex. Friday, You Fill My Eyes with Open Poetry. Saturday is split between Gray Eyes Howling at the Moon in the Canadian Wilds, bringing you Bad Company, and Ecphrasia with Captain B2 and Daniel. And if you're looking for a little more edgy around, then please check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m., Monday through Saturday morning. Mondays are split between Hearts of L&P with Victoria and New Chapters in the Black Lace Diaries with Mr. M and Mr. Frost. Tuesday, Take a Walk on the Wild Side. Fridays are split between Crawling into Darkness with Pam and Break on Through. And Saturdays, join Aphasiana and Babla as they teach you the fine art becoming part sinner, part saint. Check out the contests and prompts for all of our shows. Call in to read your poems and hang for the fun. Good evening, Pam.
Hello, Rex. How's it going?
All righty.
Very good. Very good. Great topic choice for tonight. The song Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds definitely got a great response of rights in the contest, so very cool there.
Yes, something to dig into. It was a wonderfully playful, psychedelic, and surreal tune.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And do you have anything, little tidbits you'd like to tell us about the song?
Well, it was originally scheduled to hit the market June 1st, 1967, but something else came out just a couple of weeks earlier on May 12th, which was White Shade of Pale by Croco Harum, which came out with much aplomb and saw good sales. So EMI pushed out the thought of moving up the date to May 26th release date for Sergeant Pepper's, and which also hit well, spent a fair amount of time on the UK top of the charts in the UK, and then again when it was released June 2nd in America, the same result. Funny thing about that May 26th release date. Next week's contest, we just lost Alan White, longtime drummer for Yes, but he ties into this because he ties into both John Lennon and George Harrison. As a 19-year-old, he played drums with John and the Plastic Ono Band, and he was on the album, so two songs with John, Imagine, and, Dana, I can't remember the other one at the moment. Bloody hell, that sucks. And he also played on George Harrison's debut album, All Things Must Pass.
Yeah, I saw that. He really did a lot, and it's cool that it's unfortunate that he passed away, but I think it's a good idea to have a show paying tribute to him, and also how he connects with the Beatles. So great ideas for him.
Considering he dies on the date of the 55th anniversary of the release of Sgt. Pepper's.
Oh, wow.
You, that album cover? Have you ever
taken
a really good look at that album cover? That album cover back then cost $3,000 to put together, which equates today to $51,000 for an album cover, which then gets printed off to still put the as a sleeve for the records. And it features something like 80 or 90 figures. They call them fanfare in the day. You get the likes of Edgar Allan Poe, George Bernard Shaw, Lewis Carroll, Betty Davis, Tom Mix, Brando, Dylan, H.G. Wells, James Joyce, Tyrone Powers, Karl Marx, Marlene Dietrich, Marilyn Monroe, Karl Marx, Oscar Wilde, Fred Astaire, Leo Gorsi, Antoine, Sir Robert Peel, Dylan Thomas, William S. Burroughs, Shirley Temple, Albert Einstein.
Oh, wow. So pretty much anybody who was anybody.
Yes. Huh. It hit into areas they were interested in. And plus, there were a couple of Maharishis on there that George was attuned to back in the day. Even T.E. Lawrence is on that cover as well.
Oh, that's really cool. All right. Well, I do have a couple of people waiting, and you have a nice full board. So I go ahead and bring them on, and we'll get the ball rolling.
Yep.
All right. Well, first of all, I'd like to welcome Laurent to the show. Hi, Laurent. How's it going?
You got to unmute first, though, Laurent.
He's starting a show on mute. Okay, maybe.
Of course I'm on mute, of course. It's the only way to start a Sunday evening, to mute yourself. Let me say that covered it well over the years. I wondered initially at the design, but I'll tell you, it has grown on me, and it really is something. But when it first came out, I was like, I don't know if I like that.
Yeah, it was wild, because you've got the Beatles on there twice, once in a wax figure form in their old brown suits from the early days, and then dressed as Sergeant Pepper's holding up French horns and other brass instruments.
Yeah, they were smoking the good stuff back then.
And we also have area code 763, which I believe to be Dexter. So welcome.
Glad to be here.
Dex, how you doing?
Sunday night with all of you.
Good to have you join us.
Glad to be here.
Well, all right, Pam. Why don't we start somewhere? Where would you want to go?
All right. Well, first of all, we will start with, oh, never mind. We won't start with that. That's the show link. Let me try this again. Take two. All right. And we will start with this. Newspaper Dreams by Marriott Dark. And Rex, go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
As soon as it comes, there it is. Newspaper Dreams by Marianne Dark. Crossing out lines on open pages, paper cut at dazzle and surprise, colors running up and down the margin, where she dances with pinwheel eyes. See an angel, her wings are broken. She wears a halo round her head. In an instant, before you know it, you blink, and she's gone. Feel the breeze so gently blowing, windmills take flight before your eyes, chasing moonlight as it drifts across the rooftops, standing so indelibly high. Climb a smoky staircase, winding in a spiral heaven-bound, fire lights, twinkle and sparkle, stepping forward, and then you're gone. Sitting on a platform at a deserted station, wildfires pass you by where train tracks have been, a nod and a whisper, and you're off flying, across the pages of another newspaper dream and poem. Dex, why don't we start with you, please?
Yeah, this is an interesting write. I feel like it is somebody, it's kind of almost written about somebody that is seeking some sort of publicity or some sort of famousness, but I also feel like it tackles into or delves into old nostalgia that used to be kind of the importance of the newspaper. You know, you almost picture that person with the guy with the top hat smoking the cigarettes, you know, in those newsrooms. It kind of gives you that feel, but I still think that it's about somebody that that is looking for some sort of fame. So very well done.
Thank you, Dex. And Laurent, how about you?
This work is filled with a flavor of its inspiration. Feel the breeze so gently blowing. Windmills take flight before your eyes, chasing moonlight as it drifts across the rooftops, standing so indelibly high. It really captures the tone, the pace, and the imagery of the original in a way that is very pleasant. The metaphor of the newspaper and the train tracks is a universal one, and you can take it, you know, any number of ways. Moments in life spent waiting You don't know where you're going. You don't know which station you're getting off at, or, you know, someone passes you by. You look at them, you think of them. All kinds of things are possible in a poem like this. And I do like newspaper dreams quite a bit.
Excellent. Thank you, Laurent. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I really liked what both Dexter and Laurent had to say. The first couple of lines, crossing out lines on open pages, paper cut up, dazzle and surprise, makes me think of how you make that type of poetry, that Dadaism poetry, or that, you know, where you take a magazine or a newspaper and you take out certain words and you put them together to create a poem, or you use like a black marker and just black out certain words, like blackout poetry. It reminded me of that. But then there was kind of also the idea within that stanza and within the last stanza of the idea of maybe wanting to change the news, or people who, you know, kind of to bend the news, or bend, you know, words to decide to fit what they want it to say. I really liked how the middle stanza, I thought, really focused well on the type of imagery that you would see in the type of, in a poem that was inspired by a surrealistic song. Climb a smoky staircase, winding in a spiral, heaven bound, and firelights twinkle and sparkle. Yeah, I just thought that really connected well. So just an excellent write all the way through, and very well done.
Great comments, everybody. And I guess I got to agree with everybody. There is that nice note of surreality that walks in this piece, and it does fit with the bend and flow of the original itself, but takes on its own little bit of life. And the newspaper dream, you could hit on that sort of a young pup wanting to be in the biz and got to do what he's got to do to make his way, even if it means being the first on the scene so he can grab the headline, so to speak. And it hits that note of almost a wishful thought of getting back to what once was supposed to be the pinnacle of that which informs the public, so to speak, that last line across the pages of another newspaper dream. The thought of days gone by, so to speak. Nicely done, Myriad. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, what you got next?
All right. Up next, we have Levity by Baby Bun, and it goes like this. Dancing through silvery sheltering trees to nests filled with eggs whirled and tipped by the breeze, lemon balm kissing her cheeks as she flies through violet candy cane skies. Floating beyond is a mountain of larks with peaked china icing and strawberry parks, cinnamon playing on leaves as she sways in a butterfly rose petaled haze. Heading for nowhere but honeys and greens, through paintings of sunsets and pine-tickled scenes. Softly she melts into oils as she sighs, a lifetime of laughing goodbyes and poems.
Great, Pam. Thank you very much. And Laurent, why don't we kick it off with you, please?
This is a very sweet poem. Heading for nowhere but honeys and greens, through paintings of sunsets and time-tickled scenes, a lot of things in rhyming, as well in floating beyond is a mountain of larks, with peach and icing and strawberry parks. He maintains that religiously through the three particular stanzas, and with a title like Levity, we can see that this individual melting into oils, and she sighs and laughing goodbyes. It's a wonderful image.
Absolutely. Thank you, Laurent. And Dex, how about you?
feel like just the flavors and the things that this person touches on, you know, lemon and the candy cane and cinnamon and the strawberries, things like this are just so much, almost like clearing your sinuses. You know, this whole poem really almost clears your sinuses in a good way. It just, it's almost like,
laughing.
You know, your grandma putting the Vicks vapor rub on your upper lip or something like that. It's just fantastic.
I like that story. Thank you, Dex. All right, Pam, you got to read it.
Yeah, well, I do think Dexter actually made a good point, because if you look at the second to last line, with softly she melts into oils as she sighs, and you look at how she uses so many different scents, it's almost like somebody who's really into those, you know, those natural oils, those essential oils. That's what it is. It feels like you're taking a trip with somebody who's just smelling like all kinds of different essential oils. But I thought this had beautiful, like, trippy imagery. Wonderful, by the way, on a technical level, wonderful rhyme and flow. It's beautiful all the way through. I was particularly impressed with the second stanza where she used butterfly rose petaled haze. I thought that was a creative use of kind of twisting language. You know, it just had the same dreamy quality of the original song. But what really, and the ending hit particularly hard, a lifetime of laughing goodbyes. It's like somebody who they've either learned to laugh through the pain, or they've learned to just not show the pain because they don't want people to see their sadness. And so a lifetime of laughing goodbyes, I thought, was just a really powerful ending and a beautiful poem. Very well done.
Well said, Dan. Thank you very much. This does have that dreamy quality of the original, and it sings on that same note of Lucy wandering out down a different path. If you look into this on a different thought, coming into that softly she melts in the oils as she sighs, there's almost a note of taking in a museum, the fine artwork, and musing over the violet candy cane skies, cinnamon playing on leaves as she sways, the butterfly rose petaled haze, the honeys and greens, and two paintings of sunsets and pine tickled scenes. It hits on that note of wandering through a fine gallery of some of the best work ever offered up, and musing through the thought dreamily. Nicely done, Baby Bun. Thank you very much. Well, what, Pam?
Great observation there, Rex, by the way. And let's see what we got next. Up next, we have Lost in the Silence and I'm Dancing by Packler Jared. And, Laurent, would you give that a read for us, please?
Yes, ma'am. Lost in the silence and I'm dancing. I picture myself on a raft in the ocean, lost in some foam under periwinkle horizons. I can hear whispers soft in the tides, a girl with illusions in her eyes. Swirling seaweed in shades of green, I'm floating around aimlessly. I must find that girl with secrets in her eyes. Suddenly, I'm gone. Lost in the silence, and I'm dancing. Lost in the silence, and I'm dancing. Lost in the silence, and I'm dancing. Swallowed now, abyss of the ocean, where seahorses live in seashell villages. Everyone laughs at me as I sink even deeper. Soon, I will be gasping for air. Magazine vendors stroll down the beaches, desperate to sell a dream, hide from the light with my head in the shadows. Suddenly I'm gone, lost in the silence, and I'm dancing, lost in the silence. I'm dancing, lost in the silence, and I'm dancing. I visualize myself buying a ticket for the subway, wearing a paisley bow tie and pinstripe suit. Someone familiar is Anne in the booth, with illusions in her eyes, lost in the silence, and dancing. End quote.
Great read, Laurent. Thank you very much. All right, Dan, read is all.
Yeah, great read there, Lauren. You know, I thought this had a wonderful lyrical quality with the repetitive stanza of Lost in the Silence and I'm Dancing. I did have to admit I had to look up to see if that was a song or a poem lyric from somewhere else because of it almost always put in quotation marks. I wasn't 100% sure. But, you know, I really like that because, you know, and I think by repeating it, it gives the importance of that line in somebody who's completely, you know, like, well, obviously lost, but like in their kind of their own, it feels like very meditative. A girl with illusions in her eyes, swirling seaweed in shades of green. I'm floating around aimlessly. I must find that girl with secrets in her eyes. I like how it becomes about being in the ocean rather than in the sky, and how the girl with the dreams in her eyes, you know, the kaleidoscope eyes, that becomes all of a sudden like a siren of the sea, something and or someone that he must find. I also really liked magazine vendors stroll down the beaches desperate to sell a dream. And to me, I just feel like it's the illusion in that the girl's eyes that they're trying to sell. Wonderful use of language and imagery, beautifully written and very well done.
Great comment, Ethan. When I posted this, I deliberately left out the chorus and just put in the surreal stanzas, and my guess is with the quotations on this, he's dropping in his own version of Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, Lost in the Silence, and I'm Dancing. And Dex, how about you?
Okay.
What do you think?
Yeah, the Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, Lost in the Silence, and I'm Dancing. You know, I feel like this poem ties in well with Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. I feel like it almost represents in a way life itself all within this, right? You know, I'm floating around aimlessly. I must find that girl with secrets in her eyes. Suddenly I'm going, you know, that's maybe the secret to life, right? I'm floating around aimlessly and I must find that girl. You know, it almost represents all of us in its entirety within this rite. So I think that this is a very well-done piece.
Excellent. Thank you, Dex. And Laurent, you got to read it. How about you?
Yeah, I think I'm right with Dex here. I picture myself on a raft in the ocean, and then a few lines down, I'm floating around aimlessly. I must find that girl with secrets in her eyes. It's a poem that matches the original well in terms of its style, in terms of its imagery. He maintains the ocean theme throughout the first half, but at the end, all of a sudden, there's a little bit of reality, a little bit of a different world. Now he's buying a ticket for the subway. That's a far piece from the ocean. It speaks to someone pulling themselves together, perhaps. It is very specific in his dress, a paisley bow tie, and pinstriped suit. And now, perhaps, the girl with illusions in her eyes. And that last line then takes on, I think, stronger significance. Initially, perhaps he thought he was dancing aimlessly. Now he may be dancing with purpose. Great piece.
Great comments, everybody. There's a bit, magazine vendor stroll down the beaches, desperate to sell a dream. I from the light with my head in the shadows. Suddenly I'm gone. Desperate to sell a dream. It kind of hits on the notion of him passing up on that dream because he's already got his own. He's seen somebody that's that's attracted him in the moment. Yet he's kind of on the fearful note, floating around aimlessly, swallowed now in the abyss of the ocean. Everywhere everyone laughs, it'll sink even deeper. Soon he'll be gasping for air. That there's a note of anxiety in there. Yet, come down to the end. Then he pictures himself buying that ticket for the subway, and to find that she's up ahead of him. So the girl with illusions in her eyes. And again, he's lost in that silence, and he's dancing. There's a happy note to it, but also a note of maybe awkward, yet still wanting to meet and see this this girl with the secrets in her eyes. Nicely done, Packless. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, what have you got next?
All right, let's see here. Up next, we have... Now, where'd it go to? I know I just posted it. Lucy Goosey by Keith Palethorpe and Dexter. Will you give that a read for us, please?
Absolutely. Okay, this is... Okay, this is Lucy Goosey by Keith Palethorpe. Puncture yourself while afloat on the river with tangy entrees of and mommy made pies. Something appalls you. Your pants worn quite lowly unfurl while colliding with lies. Smell of rain powers recall of a scene flowering over the years for the wood grain surprise and be blown. Lucid are the flies that climb us. Lucid are the flies that climb us. Lucid are the flies that climb us. Ah, flower with down can abridge our best mounting. We're crooks and coarse people eat good fellow pies. Everyone smiles as they dust you with flour and turn up the setting too high. New safer taxes appear by the score, waiting to take yours away. Time in the sack with your head under arm until dawn. Lucid are the flies that climb us. Lucid are the flies that climb us. Lucid are the flies that climb us. Ah. Puncture yourself on the plane in a nation with vacuous quarters and whimsy applies, where whimsy applies. Suddenly somewhere is here at the rainbow where cope and cow-eyed disco pies. Lucid are the flies that climb us. Lucid are the flies that climb us. Lucid are the flies that climb us. Ah. End poem.
Great read, Dex. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, what do you think? Pam? Are you mutating? Wow, okay. All right, they're on. Why don't we come to you then?
I will tell you. Long time ago, I used to be a really big fan of Pogo. I always thought it was one of the smartest cartoons around. It had a lot to say politically and otherwise. And they did a wonderful spoof on Deck Us All with Boughs of Holly called Deck Us All with Boston Charlie. Deck Us All with Boston Charlie, Walla Walla Wash in Kalamazoo, Norris freezing on the trolley, Swaller Dollar Cauliflower, Alley Guru, Don't We Know Archaic Barrel, Lullaby, Lilla Boy, Louisville Lou. So the whole thing was kind of a parody using nonsense words that fit the rhythm. And this does exactly that. As a matter of fact, the AN even mentions Walt Kelly did the same job on Deck the Halls with Boughs of Holly. Anybody who hasn't read it, they really should. But it's great. And this does such a good job at accomplishing exactly the same thing.
Excellent. Thank you, Laurent. Pam, you back?
I am back, yes. And I had read this earlier, and I thought it was just a spot-on parody. I really like that. I like the, as Lauren mentioned, the nonsense of the imagery. It worked well. Where crocs and coarse people eat good fellow pies. You know, I like the, I feel like, and it may have just been coincidence, but the fact that the actor from the good movie The Goodfellas just died, I thought, well, that was, I don't know how long ago he wrote this, but it seemed almost like a little nod to that actor, Ray something, I'm sorry, I'm blanking out on the name.
Ray Liotta.
That's it. Thank you, Dexter. Yeah. Yeah, so I thought that was really cool. I also really like Puncture Yourself on a Plane in a Nation with Vosh's Quarters Where Whimsy Applies. You know, the whole idea of just the taking imagery that is, I like the use of the word whimsy because I think it fits very well in the whole just vibe of this poem. So excellent write and very well done.
Oh, thank you, Pam. And Dex, you got to read it. How about you?
I think that my interpretation of it is going to be wrong, but I've thought this a few times myself, especially in times where I'm kind of drinking a lot or maybe doing, you know, some other things. But if you ever had the flies or the mosquitoes bite you in or whatever, and you kind of think, man, I wonder if they're getting high or what, I wonder if they're getting kind of lit too during all of this. And I feel like almost like this poem is kind of loosely about that. The smell of flower, you know, flowering, the wood gang surprise, lucid are the flies to climb us. To me, it almost feels like somebody that might have like some drugs or some drinking in their system and just even their, you know, their sweat or whatever kind of can get everything kind of a little bit high around it. So anyway, that was just my take on it, but very well done.
thank you, Dex. This was a great parody and it's got a lot of humor in it. But there's also I love the chorus, lucid all the flies that climb us. But that third stanza, flower wood down from the bridge our best mountain, where crocs and coarse people eat good fellow pies. Everyone smiles as they dust to the flower and turn up the setting to high. Boy, I got a huge thought from Sweeney Todd, the baker gal, his lover, taking up his bodies and making pies out of them with that stanza. And the next song, the new Safer Taxi, Appear by the Sword, Waiting to Take Yours Away, Time in a Sack with Your Head on Her Arm Until Dawn. There is a note of things going to hell, and that the thought with the lucid other flies of the climbers, and the back end of this, we cope with cow-eyed disco pies. It kind of hits me with a note of everything turning to shit. Even the flies are smarter than we are at the moment. Nicely done, Keith. Thank you very much. And back to you, Pam.
All right. Let me grab the next one. And great comments, everybody. And let's see here. All right. Up next, we have Lucy's Orange Violin by Jack Blue. And Rex, go ahead and give that a read, please.
Lucy's Orange Violin by Jack Blue. All the sea was simply dead, like a canvas painted gray, with some brushes slithering from the pandemonium when an orange butterfly suddenly appeared ashore. Fluttering and hovering to the deathly quiet waves, she began to bravely dance, kind of like an old pavane all around the ashy stage where no fantasy was real. Metamorphosing right now from adagio to allegro, she meandered brilliantly on the fields of monochrome to the horizontal blue like a flying coracle. Fading into outer space or ascending endlessly, a cool orange Chanel, nobly pianissimo, to be finishing its flats in the purple infinity. Lucy's orange violin, fascinated by piano, waving silently to the blue. The duo, twinkle, solo, and poem. All right, Pam, since you trotted off, you get to lead off.
All right. Yeah, I got this beautifully written. I like the use of the word pandemonium. All the sea was simply dead, like a canvas painted gray with some brushes slithering from the pandemonium when an orange butterfly suddenly appeared ashore. You know, it, of course, that kind of like the idea that how everything changes when a butterfly appears on shore. It reminds me of the idea of the butterfly effect, like how the wind from butterfly's wings can change the direction of a storm or the timing of a storm. Metamorphosing right now from Adagio to Allegro, she meandered brilliantly. Yeah, I feel like there's in the lines the idea that somebody finds themselves, finds their own music, rather than following what other people think is art and other people think are music. They find it within themselves to express their own art. So just wonderful, surreal imagery, beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you, Dan. And Dex, how about you?
I thought Pam nailed it pretty well about somebody finding their own art. You know, when somebody talks about their the orange butterfly and the violin, it's very well done for Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, because it feels like a almost being on a hallucinogen, but from a butterfly standpoint. You know, it's just a very different piece. I think it can be taken multiple ways, and I thought it was very well done.
Thank you, Dex. Ron, how about you?
Yeah, to me, this is a poem about somebody who found someone coming into his life gray, colorless, and then all of a sudden comes this beautiful orange butterfly, and then she does what her color does to gray. It's a vivid, strong contrast. And I think it brightens his life immeasurably. You have the image at the end of the duo twinkling solo. It seems to be a coming together. And then he says that Lucy's orange violin fascinated my piano. Now, his could be his life's music. Who knows? And I doubt that he's sitting at a planet or at a piano right then. But he could be painting, for all I know. But I thought it was very well done.
Excellent. I'm kind of walking that way. It's on that. I don't know if he's just somebody watching or somebody who's already sitting in with the orchestra, so to speak. It kind of hits on that note of how the music builds and gives out its own sorts to its offering, the way you do for operas. And the fluttering and hovering, it hits on those notes of gentle string fluttering in the moment, being waved with the bow. And then that thought was fading into outer space, that nice soaring tendency, or hitting its lower end. But the thought with the orange violin fascinated my piano, waving silently to blue. It's that note of, because he hits on the duo twinkled solo, it's on that note of an accompaniment between the two, which fits, which also kind of hits on the notion of the fantasy of man and woman meeting, something soars within.
Mm.
All right, Cam, we're back to you.
Okie dokie, Smokey. All right. Up next, we have Apple Charlotte by Rosewinter 515, and it goes like this. Apple Charlotte, Ukrainian dessert, happy eating, and poem.
Great rebound. Thank you very much. And where's Jean? That was perfect for her.
Whole six words. I got to take a drink now.
Yeah. Right. All right, Laurent, why don't we start with you, please?
Well, I'm not quite sure what to say. I've seen that Apple Charlotte as a ethnic dessert is quite good. Therefore, happy eating. Very succinct. Has me tempted.
Absolutely. Charlotte's a very good dessert, too. Dex, how about you?
Yeah, this is obviously a interesting little brevity. I just see a lot of winning happening here, I guess. You know, the dessert from Ukraine to happy eating, you know, good for it all.
Thank you, Dex. Pam, how about you? You got to read it.
Well, a delightful three-line poem that definitely makes me hungry. I like how the cinnamon in the original song made her think of the apple dessert. And then it has irony in it because, of course, as we all know, there's a war going on in the Ukraine. So Ukrainian dessert and happy eating kind of, to me, has that bite of irony to it. So excellent write and very well done.
Absolutely. I was going down that line myself. There is a nice heavy bite with that thought in the middle and the happy eating, which kind of hits on that note of, things are starting to shorten up around here these days, and they're going to get worse. All right, Pam, where do you want to go next?
All right. Up next, we have The Long and Winding Mind by Daniel Vishino. And Laurent, would you give that a read for us, please?
With pleasure. With pleasure. Long and winding mind. I dream in rivers and lakes. That thought came into my mind this morning. I'm not sure why. Because I do not dream in rivers and lakes. At least, not that I remember. So many directions to go with this thought. I could analyze as to what it might represent. I could symbolize and materialize. Building a poem based on this foundation and discuss the meaning of life and struggles of mankind and society. Or I could just forget it and move on, as is the way of most things. The words I write could fix the world and everything wrong with it. I could be the catalyst to destroy it or anything in between, or do nothing except waste my time. So many directions, just like rivers. And there I go again, contemplating. I can't help it. Dream in rivers and lakes. Why am I not on a boat on a river? Why in and not about? I really need to get to work. Mindless, repetitive, soul-draining work. But at least that makes me right now one of the gears that helps the machine move forward. Not to make a difference. Keep a watchful eye out, though. I'm sure eventually I'll write something about rivers and lakes. I have to express it. I can't help it. I may be a gear, but I'm a human blessing and a curse. End poem.
Great read, Laurent. Thank you very much. Dex, why don't we start with you?
I love this poem. This is a poem about kind of almost finding purpose, finding meaning within all of it, finding meaning because what really actually gives you meaning is your poetry and your writing, and you feel like that could possibly be something that's making the difference, but in this world, the way that we're set up financially, it's the opposite, right? It's what you're doing it during the day that if you feel monotonous, that's actually supposedly being the gear that turns and keeps society going. I think that this is a brilliant right modern day artist. So very well done.
Great comment, Dax. Thank you very much. Hey, how about you?
Yeah, I really like how he takes us along on a journey on his thoughts. And I like what Dex had to say about the struggle of the modern day artist. I also feel like it speaks on the way the mind of somebody with like attention deficit disorder can just jump all over the place. And like so many directions, just like rivers. And I like where it says, there I go again, contemplating. I can't help it. I dream in rivers and lakes. Why am I not in a boat on a river? Why in and not about? You know, like that whole idea of, to me, that represents, you know, what means the most to us, where what we are most drawn to, and why we don't make that part of our life. You know, like the idea that, unfortunately, we do need to be that cog in the machine. You know, we often, like, we all have those dreams, that dream job, that, you know, like to be an author, to be a poet, to be, you know, an artist or whatever it is that your dream is. And sometimes dreams have to be set aside simply to keep life moving, to, you know, support ourselves, our families. And, you know, so it's an excellent write all the way through and very well done.
Thank you very much, Pam. And Laurent, how about you? You got to read it.
Yeah, this is not a straight line poem at all. From the title of The Long and Winding Mind, we have a poem that has all the twists and turns of a lazy river doubling back on itself and then moving forward and then curling in the opposite direction. And he gives it to us from stanza to stanza with the directions. I could analyze, I could symbolize, materialize, build a poem based on this foundation, could forget it, could move on, you know, the words that I write could be this, they could be that, et cetera. He jumps from back and forth, from thing to thing, and in my mind almost duplicates that sinuous S-curve of a lazy river. I'm sure we've all seen rivers that do that. They follow the laws of nature, of course. They change direction, and they meander. And then this, I don't know, I just got that flavor, a meandering flavor all through this. The ending threw me. I've got to be honest. Unless he's just drawing a parallel to the river flooding. You know, so the river is a blessing to farmers, for instance, who need it for water, but a curse when it floods. I don't know. But I like the poem.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Laurent. I think the main gist is that everything, what you said, it's got twists and turns. It does hit that note of a lazy river, the drifting. But I think the one stanza that makes the most sense is near the middle. I really need to get to work. Mindless, repetitive, soul-draining work, but at least that makes me right now one of the gears that helps the machine move forward, and that can make a difference. That right there is powerful because everything else works around that, the dreaminess, it's hitting on that note of where the mind drifts in the moment because it's mindless, repetitive, and soul-draining. So you daydream in the moment of things that might be better suited with your time or something you would like to do. And it hits on that note of irreverence with a lot of the thought, but it also hits on the back end. I may be a gear, but I am human, a blessing and a curse. True, I guess the blessing is that you are human, that you're alive, and the curse can be that you're sitting at that desk, mindless, repetitive, and soul-draining work, and that's an angle most people find killing in the long run. It's debilitating. It's as he puts it, it's soul-sucking. So the need to daydream is that human angle, and sometimes the curse is, hey, you drift off, and all of a sudden, you're way behind, and somebody's bitch at you.
Yeah, but when he says, I am human, he doesn't have to say he's human. Obviously, he is human. That has to mean something. I don't think you can just kind of bypass that. Because
the human angle, he's being honest with himself. All right, Pam, coming back to you.
All right, up next we have Kaleidoscope Eyes by Ilex Adder. And Dexter, will you give that a read for us, please?
Absolutely. This is Ilex Adder, Kaleidoscope Eyes. Reflections of the world in every angle. Kaleidoscope of humanity. Reflecting in your gaze from your throne, tapping the clouds, the goddess I lost before we were ready to meet. Now watching from above, an impartial spectator, ruler of a world beyond that I can't force myself to believe in, but need too much for acceptance of its loss. Dismissing an inconvenient probability from the realm of fracturing logic under the pretense of devotion. Desperate to, once again, view a sunset through your gemstone eyes, clinging to that chance of meeting again after my glass bones break, and I return to your arms, resting side by side in the sky with diamonds and poem.
Great read, Dex. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, what do you think?
Yeah, this is beautifully written. I like how it's about, you know, that idea of needing that something or someone that will make you happy, but feeling like you've destroyed it even before it happens. Dismissing an inconvenient probability from my realm of fracturing logic under pretense of devotion, desperate to once again view a sunset through your gemstone eyes. The idea to me that being that everything looks better in everyone else's point of view. There's this kind of idea that a self-awareness, you know, really an idea of being almost critical of oneself and wanting that person, that someone that supports you. And I return to your arms, resting side by side in the sky with diamonds. That's such a beautiful ending. Excellent write and very well done.
Well said, Pam. Thank you. And Laurent, how about you?
Yeah, the eyes have it there. Reflections of the world in every angle. Kaleidoscope of humanity reflecting in your gaze from your throne, topping the clouds. It's almost as if he's thinking of a woman, a love, a goddess that he hasn't even met, that he can't force himself to believe in, but the idea of her is so strong, but need too much because of its loss. Now, did he lose it? If he can't believe in it, if he lost before we were ready to meet, I'm not too sure. It's beautifully written. I guess I'm misreading it slightly. The old brain fog is starting to creep in. Desperate to once again view a sunset through your gemstone eyes. The way she views the world allows him to view it in a different way, a unique way as well, perhaps emotionally. A little more strongly. He's going to return to her arms. So, yeah, this isn't someone he hasn't met. Obviously, it's a lost love. But resting side by side in the sky with diamonds is just a beautiful image to finish on. It coincides nicely with the promise.
I like that thought. Thank you, Laurent. And Dex, you did a great job reading that. How about you?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, I felt like I related quite well to this piece. I feel like it has a lot to do with maybe the way you're living and maybe your self-esteem and just your image of self. You know, feeling maybe deep down on what you know you deserve, but hard to recognize or hard to imagine happening based on your certain stance in life or based on your certain place in life or stature. You know, it's hard to imagine this goddess coming around when you're slithering around on the bottom of the earth or whatever, you know, and I just think that this piece maybe captures that brilliantly.
Oh, damn. Nicely said, Dead Dex. Thank you, great comments, everybody. I'm going to go a little bit different. It's sad. There's also a touch of hope in here, but it walks on a spiritual angle, which I can't help wondering, does it speak of a loss in faith? Is that the angle that hits on this, the desperate one to once again view a sunset through your gemstone eyes? It kind of hits on the notion of loss of innocence. Wanted to get back to that sort of purity where you could view things as they were meant to be seen through, say, God's eyes or the goddess, as he writes in this one. So I like that thought itself. Lovely done, Alex. Thank you very much. And what you got, Pam?
All right. Well, great observation there, Rex. And up next, we have Lucy in the Sky with Walrus by Mark Lupi. And we have a SoundCloud for that. So here we go.
You are wailing, you are sailing, your arms flailing. Just us three, you and I. And the sky asks why. The sky is whying, you are flying. I am trying to maintain equilibrium. Unfortunately, my body's numb. I fall through strange-shaped clouds with heads like Edgar Allan Poe, nodding wisely in dark crowds. I say, I beg your pardon for my inadequacy. Still, a long way to go to crash into an English garden now polluted with debris. I am stumbling, I am fumbling, I am tumbling. It's just you now, up so high. And the sky's still trying, you are flying. I am lying and trying to belong among the discards of the walrus song. Whatever it is, its lyrics bind in my yellow state of mind. Mid objects piled up like tan mustard, dead dogs full of yellow custard, broken eggmen, yellow-green, yellow walrus ivories, a cornflake wafting in the breeze, pieces of a smashed machine labeled yellow submarine. It's night. The sky's no longer trying. The real yellow's finally done. I mean the sun. And I'm still lying passive, as I always was. Penguins dance with Hare Krishnas, pigs with jokers everywhere. But all I see is you up there. Policemen make their final rounds. Too late to hit the bars. I'll lie staring at the stars all around you. They're the diamonds. End of poem.
Great read, Mark. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. All right, Dex, why don't we start with you?
Well, I'm glad to hear from Mark again. I felt like the poem meant a whole lot more just hearing him read it. The sky is whying, the sky is, you know, he goes into, you are flying, I am trying, you know, to maintain my equilibrium. I feel like this is somebody that maybe views a lover or someone maybe in higher regard than maybe the lover views them. you know, you view them in the sunset, you know, mind objects piling up, pieces of the smash machine able to, I don't know, I just get the feel from this that the writer, from the viewpoint of the writer, they view themselves trying to find this person, or they view themselves in this high of light. And this person, though, is just kind of in the mix and doesn't view them the same. So very well done.
Thank you very much, Dex. Pam, what about you?
Well, I thought a wonderful surreal style write that worked really well with Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. I like how also you can tell, obviously, from the title, but just from the style and some things mentioned, that it was also you know, inspired by I Am the Walrus. And so it fits well with both songs. I like I Am Stumbling, I Am Fumbling, I Am Tumbling. It feels like being in a dream where you're falling, but it also feels like how the idea of sometimes in life you try to gain your footing, gain a sense of balance and can't seem to find it. Mid objects piled up like tan mustard, dead dogs full of yellow custard, broken egg men, yellow green, yellow walrus ivory. That's such a visceral imagery, almost like putrid type imagery, that really just really grabs your attention. I also really like Penguin's Dance with Hare Krishna, Pigs with Jokers Everywhere, But All I See Is You Up There. You know, that I like that you up there, that being focused on something above and beyond. Definitely a very dreamy-like quality, very surreal quality, and beautifully written, very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Laurent, how about you?
This reminds me of a daydream delivered in a very focused stream of consciousness. I almost hesitate to call it that because it is structured. And then he mixes in some very relevant Beatles imagery, which on the whole makes the whole thing very very relatable, at least to me in my mind. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Thank you very much, Laurent. I first saw this, I guess, about a year ago. We did for the and I Am the Walrus. That was the piece back then. The surreality in that. And he hits on the notes in the song in this, as well as dropping a little bit more on the angle with Lucy offering up the diamonds to fill out the back end. But it was a piece in the original. It was expert to expert choking, Smokey, don't you think the joker laughs at you? Ha ha ha, hee 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 ho ho. See how they fly like Lucy in the sky? See how they snide? He draws a little bit more in there and has a little bit of fun with it by naming it Lucy in the Sky with Walrus. But the thought kind of does what you open up with, Laurent, the daydream and the unfolding mechanism as you look at the clouds, head like Edgar Allan Poe, the crash landing into an English garden now polluted with debris, kind of walks on another note of how the world has gotten so dirty. And then kind of hits on the same note with dead dogs, yellow custard, broken eggman, yellow green, yellow walrus ivories, cornflakes walking in the breeze, pieces of smash machine labeled yellow submarine. All hits on notes of deterioration. And then the back end, the night's got no longer trying, the little yellow's finally done. I mean, of course, I mean the sun, and I'm still lying, acid, as I always was. So daydream is kind of hitting on that note of we're letting things get out of hand and we're walking headlong into dissolution. All right, Pam, back to you.
All right, Laurent, I've put your poem up. Go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
Okay. I was always fascinated with with Lucy, the girl with the sun in her eyes. I think that's the line. So I decided to kind of write about her a little bit more. It's called Rainbows Clinging to the Sky. I stood atop granite cliffs which slumbered, grinding their teeth through the wasting gales of winter, and did not wonder at flesh unfrozen that kept itself holy for the spring. Warm and inviting, unsurprised at the boulevard of delicacies awash in a white sea that grew around me in the grip of her painted nails. Jeweled fruits hung wounded, frozen amidst consumption, teeth gnawing in the velvet peach, eternity laying at my open mouth, poised to swallow a world. Robin's red breast quartered before the breeze, a southerly gust sharp before the storm, inching in, a tremolo of heat wavering in the closing of April. As May seized its halter, it galloped in pastures of green and yellow, that drew the lady and her plenitude to my side, fanciful nectar, an infusion we shared as equals, as lovers. Who knew the kaleidoscopic ribs, the dry and dolorous climes of yesterday, reflected in the squint of Lucy, with the sun in her eyes, rainbows swinging to an urban sky. End quote.
Craig Reed Laurent, thank you very much. And Dex, why don't we start with you?
Poem is very just beautiful in texture, you know. You change, you put Lucy almost into as if she's, if it's biting into a juicy fruit, you know, like a juicy orange, or and it, the nectar is dripping down off you, which is what Lucy is. And you paint her in such a way that is, I think that image is almost kind of world, you know, almost bypasses language. The image of a juicy fruit is, you know, transverses into animals, into different cultures, into just, you know, everybody can grasp that. And I think that being what Lucy is just a brilliant way of clinging to the skies, the rainbows. It's just such a vibrantly colorful write. I just thought that this was very well done.
Thank you.
Like you said, Dax, thanks. Pam?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Wonderful imagery and metaphors. I really like how you mentioned the different seasons, like the gales of winter. And I know there was a part where you mentioned storms, and you mentioned, as May seized its halter and galloped in pastures of green and yellow. I feel like there's this idea in this poem of first looking back and then looking forward. I also like the delicate sensuality in this, of delicacies awash in a white sea that grew around me in the grip of her painted nails. That is just some wonderful sensual imagery. You know, I just really like the imagery in the use of a storm and the use of the closing of April. It's such a turbulent time. And who knew the kaleidoscope ribs of the day, dry and dolorous climes of yesterday, reflected in the squint of Lucy. It's almost like the idea that in the end stanza with the sun in her eyes, rainbows clinging to an urban sky, it's almost like Lucy went from being this innocent country girl who knew nothing about real life to almost this kind of bitterness, this look at the urban sky, this reality of all the pollution and the rat race of the world. So just an excellent write and very well done.
All set, Pam. Thank you. All right, Laurent. I love the way nature, you got nature writ within this. And that opening stanza kind of hits me with the thought of almost being virginal, or someone who's coming out of a long hiatus back into the real world. Because you hit on that last line, that kept itself holy for the spring, warm and inviting. And then the delicacies wash in white sea that grew around me in the grip of her painted nails. There's that notice of a singularity. The jeweled fruits hung wounded, frozen in mid-consumption. There's life all around. Lovers aplenty. The velvet peace, the journey laying at my open mouth. There's almost a note to drool in the moment, hunger, fierce hunger. And then you hit on the robin's red breast, quartered before the breeze, a subtly gust sharp. There's that warmth, that burst of heat exuded within and coming forth from the other side of this. And the gallop, I like the thought, the seas that falter and gallop, that there's a nice inflection of sensuality there. And the back end, the dry and dolorous climbs of yesterday, reflected in the squint of Lucy, there's that note of those days of dryness and a bit of boredom are long gone. And there's that note of seeing the possibilities within those eyes itself. All right, Pam, we're coming back your way.
Sorry, I was on mute. I've been thanking everybody. Nobody heard me. Great comments. Thank you.
Absolutely. All right. Up next we have Let Me Take You Down by Nan529 and Rex. Will you please give that a read?
Let Me Take You Down by Nan529. Let me take your hand, because I'm going too, where reality is fantasy in a multicolored land. Spiraling trees, purple sand, honey-colored bees, walking on upside-down mountains, shooting the breeze. Red and white zebras, monkey puzzle trees, in a land of LSD. Let's lie on blackberry grass, stare at candy fluff skies, airplanes with licorice wings, looping the loop, they float away, waving goodbye. Apple trees of yellows and greens cry out to us to pick them as they jump off the trees. Let's drift along on a banana boat filled with ice cream as we watch Sergeant Pepper marching up the hill. Imagine yourself in a land of no war, nothing to fight or argue about. Let's jump into bed, give peace a chance. Milk chocolate nutcracker soldiers melting on the strawberry fields with marshmallow skies. Girl with sparkling eyes. High-heeled shoes in Carnaby Street as passes by. Merseyside ferries waiting to take us across as a yellow submarine sails past the candy-striped pier. Three graces standing proud as beetle statues stand waiting for the cameras to click. Pompous Lord Mayor with chain of office weighing him down, his head's in a whirl. Let me take you down to the Cavern Club, to where it all began, because I'm going too. Where dreams were dreams, then came true. And poem. Rob, why don't we start with you, Pete? And you're mutating once more.
Who did you ask for?
You.
Oh, I didn't. I heard you say Pete. I mean, who the hell is Pete? All right, let me take you down. Right into a Beatles fantasy land, certainly. It has all the flavor, all the relevant points, the red and white zebras, monkey puzzle trees, in the land of LSD. Let's lie on blackberry grass, stare on candy floss skies, airplanes and licorice wings. He does a very good job of creating imagery that flies hand in hand with a lot of the imagery in the original Beatles song. And then begins to introduce other elements. Imagine yourself in a land of no war. So I think from the song Imagine by Lennon. I'm not sure if that was strictly I don't think he was a Beatle at that point. But that takes us to Merseyside Ferries, almost as if he's going to visit the origin of the Beatles. And he kind of takes us out of the land of the fantastic and brings us back to reality in the Merseyside Ferries and the Cavern Club, to where it all began. Because I'm going to where dreams were dreams then came true. You know, the origin of the Beatles, the dreams they had, and then the dreams that came true. Very, very interesting poem. I liked it a lot.
Thank you very much, Philip. Am, what about you?
I really enjoyed this one. You know, she does such a wonderful job of paying tribute to the Beatles, and to the imagery and the language and their songs, and mentioning, as Lawrence said, their different albums, the different songs. I really like the imagine yourself in a land of no war, nothing to fight or argue about. Let's jump into bed, give peace a chance. You know, let's jump into bed was a wonderful nod to the protest that John and Yono did when they laid in bed. And milk chocolate nutcracker soldiers melting on strawberry fields with marshmallow sky. Great imagery that comes from the songs. Three graces standing proud as Beatles statues stand, waiting for cameras to click. Pompous Lord Mayor with chain of office weighing him down, his head in a whirl. It feels like this whole idea of the passing of a time that was once innocent and once beautiful and wonderful to being, you know, the weight of modern times. So just a wonderful write all the way through and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Dex, how about you?
Yeah, definitely, had the feel to it of a Beatles song. More so I felt like Strawberry Fields Forever, for obvious reasons. But right along the lineage of, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds and the whole Sgt. Pepper album. So, without nitpicking and stuff, I thought it did a brilliant job of tying it all in. So very, very well done.
Absolutely. We had way too much fun playing with this. I hit on the same thoughts with the Blackberry Grass. Blackberry Grass, Candy Floss Skies, Airplane with Licorice Ring. But that was clever. I thought Loop in the Loop. That had me thinking of those daring young men and their flying machines from way back in. And Airplane, the comedy movie where they had the airplane twisted up in a knot. The Licorice Wings had me thinking of all that. But great thought. Milk chocolate, nutcracker soldiers smoking on the strawberry fields with marshmallow skies. That was different as well. And the addition of Carnaby Street, Mercy, then offering up the Cavern Club as well. So, way back when dreams were dreams, then came true. Nicely done, man. Thank you very much. That was Wild Ride, based in the LSD realm. All right, Pam. That's it to you.
All right. Up next, we have Lucy by Signalago, and it goes like this. Picture yourself in a canoe on a turnpike, dragonfly skimming and elephant flies. Nobody's talking. The silence is deafening. Somewhere a little girl cries. Bake-like bubbles float through the air, dangling by a gossamer thread, marigold biscuits all in a row. Psychedelic images inside my head. Picture yourself on a train at the platform. Magazine headlines feature Shanghai. Suddenly coal beget diamonds in the blink of an eye. Picture yourself as a bun in the oven. Licorice parcels fall from the skies. There, partly obscured by the shadows, the girl with kaleidoscope eyes. and poem.
Great read, Pam. Another bite at the parody angle. Nicely done, Signalago. The Ront wanted to start with you.
Yeah, as Richard likes to say, the poet is riffing off of the original lines in the Beatles and filling in, keeping in mind the rhythm and the tune, and giving us a mixture of imagery, quite fascinating imagery, and a flying elephant next to a skimming dragonfly, make light bubbles float through the air, might give a nod to the age of the poet. Bakelite hasn't been around for a long, long time, as far as I know. The mangold, marigold biscuits, all in a row, psychedelic images inside my head. This just maintains that nice rhythm of the original with some very nice imagery.
Excellent. Thank you, Laurent. Dex, how about you?
Oh, Dexter had to go.
Then it's yours. Aha.
All right. I really like this. First of all, like you were saying, it's just a spot on parody. I like how it has this kind of almost like innocence to it. The Bakelite, that reminds me of those Easy Bake ovens that were really popular like in the 1980s. And every little girl had to have one. I really like that there. Bakelite bubbles float through the air, dangling by a gossamer thread, marigold biscuits all in a row, psychedelic images inside my head. I feel like it's that idea of someone who, you know, is going back into those kind of like that imagination, that daydreaming mind that you have as a child. Like the whole idea of like making mud pies and decorating it with different flowers. And I like picture yourself as a bun in the oven, like the whole idea of picture yourself before you were even born. You know, picture yourself floating in that water surrounded by nothing but warmth and comfort and protection and silence, you know, before everything before that bright light hit. Before all of reality hit. So just a really excellent write and very well done.
Excellent, Pam. Thank you. On your thought on the Bakelite, that was a compound that was the first, I think, plastic moldable.
And a brand name.
System used back in the day. They made everything out of Bakelite. You get the toilet seats, telephones. There's all sorts of stuff that, because it was easy to mold, and it was the first real heavily used plastic out of chemical process to be made. So, but I did like this. This was a fun piece, and the thought of dragonfly skimming and elephant flies, and again another thought with the licorice parcels fall from the sky. That was a nice touch. But he also hits in his AM. Sgt. Pepper's was the first album I bought with my hard-earned money for delivering newspapers before school. So the there is that nice note of going right back to that little era where I earned my first album, first batch of money. I bought my first album, and things were a little on the wild side. All right, Pam, what you got next?
All right. Well, I have to say, I learned something new. I would have, you know, I saw the name Bakelite, and I just assumed it had something to do with like an easy bake oven, but maybe from a different country. So very cool. Thank you, gentlemen. Always happy to learn something new. All right. And great comment there, Rex. All right. Up next, we have The Kaleidoscope Girl by Rich F. And Lauren, will you please give that a read?
Yes, ma'am. The Kaleidoscope Girl. They call the girl Kaleidoscope. Her soul, her spirit spins and shines. Rainbow aura, raining hope. She showers me with sugar wine. I dive and swim in her sweet ocean. the crystal-filled fishes float in ocean. They call her Princess Poppylude, her spirograph of blue and green that spins and spins me in the mood. And Mr. Watcha sings his dream, the gentle music on the breeze, mixing major and minor keys. End poem.
Great read, Laurent. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, what you think?
Well, first of all, I'm putting out a royal proclamation that from now on, everybody must call me Princess Poppytude.
Okay.
I love that. Oh, my gosh. You know, this is, it's so fun because, well, and it's interesting because it honestly starts out, well, not essentially starts out, but she showers me with sugar wine. I dive and swim in her sweet ocean. It's just sensual. It's beautifully sensual. And then it kind of like at that point, and then takes a turn in the second stanza of the call. They call her Princess Poppytude, her spirograph of blue and green that spins and spins me in the mood. And Mr. Watches sings his dream. You know, I like that. I like how this whole imagery, all this imagery has a sense, a great sense of movement, a great sense of somebody who dances by spinning in circles and just gets lost in the music. And then it's the idea of two people getting lost in each other. But that spins and spins me, and Mr. Watch sings his dream. You know, it's very Alice in Wonderland type feel, the white rabbit, you know, checking his watch. And I don't know, just really just a clever brevity and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Laurent, how about you?
Well, I'm sure I can follow Ms. Poppytude. That is a hell of a word, Poppytude. I hit on exactly the same thing that that Pam did. It spins and spins me in the mood. And Mr. Watches sings his dream. It's a charming little piece that has a lot to say about the spinning.
Absolutely. You hit on two things in here. Two toys. The kaleidoscope, and you remember the spirograph? Twisting those little knobs on the bottom to make it draw pictures or whatever on the blank screen. And Poppy too had me thinking of both, all right, Poppy and the back end of that Quaalude. So I'm wondering if there is a little bit more that walks within this. It kind of hits on the note of that, especially that she showers me with sugar wine. I dive and swim in the sweet ocean. The crystal fishes float in motion. It is a nice little tricky note to it. And it does hint at a little bit of a Mr. Watcher sings his dream, kind of a thought of somebody else being in the picture in the moment. Her gentle music on the breeze, mixing major minor keys. It might just be the angle of listening to the music and really the spinning angle with the colors, the biographic kaleidoscope, hits on that notion of the music itself delivering one into that land itself. Well done, Rick. Thank you very much. All right, Pam. Way to go, Pam.
All right. Up next, we have Fabulous by Papa Terminus. And Rex, go ahead and give that a read, please.
Fabulous by Papa Terminus. Tripped on a banana peel on my trip down to the Rocky Mountains. The clouds are covered in cellophane as plastic people bleed you dry. A ballerina pirouette stars glisten as the kaleidoscopic sun rises. Her eyes are like gems sparkling as the flying saucer lands in the west. They claim you look fabulous dressed in that mohair suit, looking like Captain Marvel, sleepwalking through the day. Cross over the bridge, the people all walk backwards, threading through the needle's eye. They all line up to enter the pigsty. Wormholes are drifting the heads in the clouds. The picture is over because the sound was too loud. Yes, they claim you look fabulous, dressed in that mohair suit, looking like Captain Marvel, sleepwalking through the day, because I tripped on a banana peel. And boom. All right, Pam, you get the open on this one.
Well, great read there, Rex. I did so much enjoy the physical humor with the mention of tripping on the banana peel. It had a very Three Stooges type vibes. I really like that stanza that mentioned, they claim you look fabulous dressed in the mohair suit, looking like Captain Marvel sleepwalking through the day. There's just a really great line about not being aware of what one how one truly presents themselves. You know, it feels like the Emperor's clothes, but are you know the Emperor's new clothes, but instead of being naked, he's just like somebody who just is making themselves look so ridiculous, and everybody's just going along with it. Afraid to speak the truth. I also like to mention wormholes. I thought, you know, if you're going to go with a rite that, you know, is based after the song, you know, Lucy in the Sky's Diamonds, wormholes is a perfect word to use. Wormholes are drifting, your head's in the clouds, the picture is over because the sound was too loud. I like that idea of, you know, it feels to me like sensory overload, like just shutting down. You know, so excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Laurent, how about you?
Yeah, bear in mind, I'm deep in brain fog, so I've read this now 3 times. I'm trying to figure out what it is that I want to say about it. I like the imagery, especially in the first stanza. Tripped on a banana peel on my trip down to the Rocky Mountains. The clouds are covered in cellophane as plastic people bleed you dry. Sometimes when we head for vacation, we wander into tourist areas and they have these little roadside stands and they are just there literally to bleed you dry. I mean, they've got everything out under the sun that's completely useless, usually mementos of the place where you're going. So that first stanza was kind of relatable to me. I enjoyed the flying saucer landing in the West simply because we were always urged to go West, young man. So there's significance there, especially with her eyes like gems as sparkling. And then he says, they claim you look fabulous. They claim. He doesn't claim. They claim you look fabulous in that mohair suit. He hasn't seen her in that mohair suit or him in that mohair suit. Not sure. I agree with Pam on the wormholes. That was a great stanza. And the banana peel, of course, is the beginning and the ending. So it's very competently done.
Thank you, Laurent. I agree with you on that first stanza. And I'm wondering if the thought deliberate with the Rocky Mountains hits on a note of John Denver, Rocky Mountain High. The cellophane as plastic people bleed you dry. And he hits on a couple of things. There's you got a little bit of Benny and the Jetson here with the mohair suit. You got a little bit of Elton too with the ballerina. And I think also the note of the pigsty is a touch of Ian Walrus with that thought. But and the angle, because I tripped on a banana peel to finish off, the thought of all of a sudden the world just turned upside down, you cracked your head, and everything just flowed in a unique manner. And all that went through this whole dream sequence, so to speak, because your noggin just got scrambled in the moment, which I thought was a clever playoff, too. I do look sick. I like that mohair suit angle. I haven't heard that in a long time. All right, Pam, what you got next?
All right. Up next, we have Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds by Chris Bond, and it goes like this. In a journey of abstraction dreamt up by Lenin's altered imagination, a simple child's drawing becomes a song that the world ends up enjoying. Lucy's voyage through colors and amazing images, expanding the mind to ridges we never knew existed. A great song, a testament to the Beatles' genius, whose versatility will probably never be rivaled. I hope Lucy did find her diamonds and manage to take them home. Cliffhanger, the song failed to tell us. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Chris, a nice touch. I like the thought that you drew on this, even adding in the simplicity of where the song was actually birthed from. That was a nice touch as well. And I do like the backhanded humor to finish off the song for colors. Nicely done. Laurent, how about you? Laurent, you there?
Lauren had to go.
All right. Then it's to you, isn't it?
All right. Well, you know, I thought this was an excellent brevity. I like the way that it paid tribute not only to the song itself, but to the imagination and the genius of the Beatles. I like that he gives us the history of the song. I like that he says a great song, a testament to the Beatles' genius, whose versatility will probably never be rivaled. And I think that makes a really good point. They were extremely versatile in their musical styles. And I do like the humor in the end. Cliffhanger, the song failed to tell us. That girl Lucy that the picture was about, she actually ended up dying of lupus. So hopefully between the time that that picture was drawn and before she died of lupus, she was able to, find those diamonds. So,
yeah, Julian
excellent.
Brought that picture home from school one day. John asked his son, "What is this?" "It's Lucy in the sky with diamonds." And it was a picture of a girl flying across the page.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and you know, it's funny because, you know, so many people thought that song was about LSD.
Well, they thought the same thing about Mr. Kite. The funny thing is, John saw a poster from 1890s. Mr. Kite was one of the featured, I think it was for a circus act or, you know, an outdoor show, a jamboree. And Mr. Kite was one of the acts. He saw a poster for it. And he wrote the song. He said he saw the same thing for Happiness is a Warm Gun. It was an advertisement. Happiness is a warm gun, meaning safety.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It's interesting how people's imaginations just go all over the place. Yeah. All right. Let's see what's next. All right. Grabbing the next one. And up next we have Finding Lucy by Lockdown Lark. Lockdown Lark. And Rex, please give that a read.
Finding Lucy by Lockdown Lark. Flying with you across pastel skies, walking on clouds too, a love that never dies. Suddenly all is melting, colors merging to black. I am falling, falling, shadows pulling me back. Where are you? I can no longer see. Head exploding blues, I have lost my affinity. Shiver and the shakes, must find the man, get the flying power he makes, but need cash for his game plan. Borrow or steal, oh the pain, the pain. Maybe skip a meal, but must find Lucy again. And poem. All right, Dan.
Great read there, Rex. I like how this feels like it's about, well, first of all, wonderful rhyme and flow to it. I like how it feels like about losing a person, but also more like, to me, it feels like losing a dream. It takes that wonderfully sharp turn, walking on clouds to a love that never dies. Suddenly all is melting, colors merging to black. I am falling, falling, shadows pulling me back. Where are you? I can no longer see. Head exploding blue. I have lost my affinity. It honestly, it kind of within those lines, especially that third stanza, makes me think of somebody, you know, having a stroke, somebody whose mind gets altered in such a way they can no longer see or communicate things the way that they did. And I don't honestly think that's how Lockdown Larks meant it to sound, but that's how my mind interprets it. That's how I see it. It is a wonderful thought-provoking write on trying to get life back together to what it was before. So very well done.
Well, on that note, it kind of hits on the angle of meeting that fix again, because that first couple of stanzas hit on the flying with you across pastel skies, walking on clouds to a love that never dies. And then that second stanza had me thinking of the Rolling Stones' Painted Black, colors merging to black, I'm falling, falling, shadows pulling me back. There's that note of being delivered back to earth. And then, where are you? I can no longer see. The shiver and the shake. And it's like somebody who's coming down and needs that fix to and he hits on that with the borrow feel of the pain, maybe skip a meal, but must find Lucy again. So there's that note of making a choice. Hey, I'd rather go back to find Lucy. I can pass up on the food in the moment because that meat Casper's game plan. And that's the idea, must find the man. Got to get to the man. Got to find Lucy again.
I like that. Great thought there, Rex. And you're right, it does have that feel of wanting to get that next fix. So very cool observation. All right. Up next we have Wake to a Weave of Wonder by S. Sharp. And it goes like this. Wake to a weave of wonder of the caramelized sky, sticky situations tempt, finger-painted lines, where character bobble headed for the dangerous side, taking cornstarch breath, stare in the needle's eye, straightens the zigzag fortunes, let the birds and bees decide, around the bend in the road, let frosted inhibitions unwind, wake to a weave of wonder, love woven into the blueberry sky, wake to a weave of wonder, life sewn between the seams of two lovers' eyes. Wake to a weave of wonder, a powdered sugar disguise, locked into the rhythm of moonlight, water, color, dream, surmise. Avalanches a parfait rumble down love's volatile mountainside. Wet your saltine cheeks, winding rivers juke and hide. Listen for the rising of the lemon sun. In darkness fear to hope it chides, hanging from the starlit look, together at sunrise, gotta give it a try, wake to a weave of wonder, love woven into the blueberry sky, wake to a weave of wonder, life sewn between the seams of two lovers' eyes, and poem.
Great, Ethan. And this was quite the piece. I like the voice as well as the language used, the zigzag. That hits on the notes for zigzag rolling papers back in the day. And the blueberry skies, powdered sugar disguise, saltine cheeks, the lemon sun. There is a note to hits on the life sewn between the seams of two lovers' eyes, but also he hits on the note of the ups and downs because he hits on the wet saltine cheeks, winding rivers juke and hide, listen for the rising of the sun, in darkness fear to hope it shines, hanging from a starlit book, together at sunrise, got to give it a try. And there was another piece, what was that? That thought, let frosted inhibitions unwind. The caricatures bobble, headed for the dangerous side. So there is a nice careful note to weave in both the hard edge as well as the good edge in this, and the back end, you got to give it a try between the scenes of two lovers' eyes. So nice piece. Something different from Sharp. Nicely done. Scott, sorry. What you got?
Oh, yeah. Well, great comment there. I really enjoyed the imagery in this. I really enjoy and appreciate his wordplay, like where characters bobble headed for the dangerous side. You know, you think of those bobbleheads that sit on the dashboard, and they have no say in the direction the car goes. They simply just nod their head. It's kind of like the whole idea of somebody who just nods and smiles and lets other people take them on a journey. And it may not always be a journey that they want to go on. I really like A Powdered Sugar Disguise, Locked in the Rhythm of Moonlight, Watercolor Dreams Surmise, Avalanches of Parfait Rumbling Down Love's Volatile Mountainside. To me, that speaks on the whole idea that love isn't always that sweet. It does have a volatile side. And sometimes what we think is sweetness and sugar is really destruction in disguise. So excellent write and very well done.
All right, what we got next?
All right, up next we have Gary Skies by Jim Bellamy. And Rex, go ahead and give that a read, please.
Gary Skies by Jim Bellamy. Gary Skies. I've been painting me the Gary Skies, gorilla taping all the rings that slide inside the shaking of a poppy tree. Oh, Gary Skies, I need no why, blue Gary Skies. Cut opal seed, low Gary, 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 bad boys, pistols, and plums. Makes my heart seem the heart of the sun. Bad days, pistols, and flows make my heart seem the heart of a rose. Oh, Gary Skies, I've been painting you the Gary leaves, vanilla caping all the kings that wish he'd, gold hanging Babylon babies. Ooh, a bed of bone digs cells as dog day tees, real inside the east. La 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 la. They put pills inside our motor cars as cat cured sun ward drove crowed stars. Then we danced inside a rock sleeve and we rained a down inside a seagull town. Oh, yeah. The sons of lovers left high. Ah, clowns correct berry bombs and the ides of death pricked assault sound. The sea hang funeral facing chicken dons. Gary Skies, ooh, Gary Slides. We've been weeping, weeping. The sleeping mind of God, his gold weed and a daggered steed raises Gary from laden ladies. Bad boys raid the radios. Tease toys raise life's rodeos. And ooh, Vagina Hill is close behind. Such mod mumbos must be puffed. And puff.
Great read there, Rex. I tell you, Jim Bellamy has a really clever way of playing with words. Yeah, I like how, you know, at first I was trying to figure out, you know, I'm Googling to see if Gary Skies was a real person, but I think he was just personifying the idea of gray skies and switching around, you know, the word gray. I really like A Bed of Bones Digs Selves as Dodge Tees Real Inside the East. They put pills inside our motor cars as cat cured sun war drove crowned stars, then we danced inside a rocked sleeve. I don't know. This idea of manipulation of minds and of thoughts. I also like the sons of lovers leapt high, our clowns caressed berry bombs, and the itis of death pricked assault sound to sea hang funeral facing chicken dons. You know, the mention of the itis of death, the mention to me of the killing of, what was his name, who got killed in the itis of March?
Caesar.
You know, yes, that's it. Thank you. Yeah, it has a feel of bringing Caesar down, of, twisting fate. That's what I feel like it has to do with twisting fate. So wonderful imagery and metaphors, and very well done.
And it does, you know, I guess you're going to have to hit on that, because there's some other shaking of a poppy tree that bites into heroin. Bad boys, pistols, and plums makes my heart seem the heart of the sun. Bad boys, pistols, and plums makes my heart seem the heart of a rose. I like that play on the voice there. That kind of hits me with a sort of too much with boys these days. The ease that comes with being the bad boy, having a pistol, and the ease of use in that. Vanilla caping all the kings, which he gold hanging Babylon babies, who a bed of bone digs sells and. Dog day tease. I like that thought right there too. And to put pills inside our motor cars, and it might be a reference to humanity being forced to take whatever. Sons of lovers left by clowns caressed berry bombs. Eyes of death tricked to salt wound. Salt sound to see Hank's funeral face and chicken dogs. The chicken dons that hits on the note of the elitist, who don't offer up anything themselves, or even the pain that comes along with living. Why? Because they're all high and mighty. I don't have to worry about things like that. They're protected while everyone else gets killed. Nicely surreal, Jim. Thank you. All right.
Absolutely. Well, I'm not going to try to shove one more in, so we'll just go ahead and you can mention what you have coming up, your contest for next week, and then wrap the show up. And by the way, great show tonight, Rex.
Yes, it was, Dan. Thank you very much. And thank you, Laurent and Dex, for sitting in for a bit and for commenting and reading. Thank you very much. Next week's is called Notes in Passing, Alan White. And I do give you a little bit of thought. Imagine an instant karma. You can hit on those two songs. It was spent time on that with John Lennon. And the All Things Must Pass album, he was on that album with George Harrison. And any of the songs from 1972 to 2021 when their last album came out. So there's plenty of music to dip into. Plenty of songs. So have a bit of fun and enjoy yourself.
That sounds really good. I'm looking forward to that show. All right. Have a good night.
All right. Good night.